Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When preachers ask their congregations for money, everyone gets nervous. It's in our natures to hold on to what we have. For many, giving does not come easily. Today, we begin a series that reveals the real reason why we must be generous, and that is the generosity of God. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. To help us all learn to be generous in giving, Pastor Lutzer comes now to tell us about the generosity of God.
Today I have the privilege of speaking on the topic of the generosity of God. And I'm going to be speaking about God's generosity, but I'm going to be speaking about giving and money and all those things. And I can imagine already what some of you are thinking. I know you. You're thinking, I brought guests today. It's the first time at Moody Church, and now he's going to speak about money. A couple told us recently that they went to another church where they were fundraising, and the pastor spoke about money, and they never went back again. Just relax. I want us to think about the generosity of God and a motivation for freeing people. I want you at the end of this message to be totally free, free in your generosity. That's what I've been praying for, and I believe that that's what's going to happen. But why is it that we're so sensitive about the matter of money? First of all, because there are some people who live from paycheck to paycheck, and they can barely make it, and they say, and now you expect us to give, and we can't afford it. Let the rich people give. They've got the money. Or there are people who say we are in debt, debt to credit cards, huge slaves to have to make those monthly payments. And then there are some people who are just plain stingy. They may be rich, they may be poor. Either way, they want to hoard all of their wealth and they want to keep it. Well, I hope that all of those and other categories today are going to experience a new freedom and joy in the gift of giving. Now take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And you need to see this in the text in order to believe it. You need to turn to it. And if you're looking at your cell phone and I see you, I'm going to assume that it's because you have the New Testament on your cell phone. If you're looking at something else, I hope the person sitting next to you taps you on the shoulder and says, "Wake up and listen." I can't do that. Well, I could try, but it's your responsibility to do that. Paul is trying to raise funds for the saints in Jerusalem who are going through a tough time because of famine and also because they were marginalized as a result of persecution. So they were out of jobs. They were poor, dirt poor, and he's trying to get an offering together. And in order to motivate the saints at Corinth, what he does is he uses the Macedonians, which is a territory in northern Greece. He uses them as an example of generosity. And look at what he says about them. He says in chapter 8, verse 2, "For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." What's going on? They didn't use poverty as an example or as a reason to not give. "For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own free will." Paul says, "I didn't have the nerve to even ask them whether or not they give because I knew they couldn't afford it." He says in verse 4, "begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." Not this as we expected, "for they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us," which really is the key to giving, but we can't comment on that exactly because I don't have time. But I'm saying, what's with these people? Giving so joyfully, so generously in the midst of their extreme poverty. They didn't use it as an excuse to not give. Paul says, I'm using them to motivate you because you'll notice it says in verse 7, but as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, we could add if it relates to Moody Church, in singing and ministry, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. You're good at everything else, make sure that you're good at giving. All right, that's the context. And now in the middle of this, the Apostle Paul gives us the motivation, which explains the Macedonians and should explain us as well. I know that in the Bible, everybody emphasizes John 3:16. John 3:16 as the key verse. And you see at baseball games and so forth, people holding a sign, John 3:16, as if that means anything to anybody. But I think that John 3:16 has some competition from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Surely you know this one by memory. You'll notice it says these words, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Paul says, that's the reason that you give. All right. If that's the reason why you give, let's look at this verse very closely. First of all, you'll notice that the Apostle Paul is speaking here about the riches of Jesus. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the wealth of Jesus, that though he was rich. Think of how rich Jesus was before he came to earth. He was rich in ownership. He owned everything. It says in Colossians, for by him were all things created, both visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things created by him and for him. He owned everything. Everything he owned. Not only rich in ownership, but rich also in honor. You remember Jesus in John 17, as he was anticipating the cross, he said, Father, glorify thou me with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. Listen to me, we can only begin to use our imaginations to know what that glory was like. It was brilliance. It was filled with honor and worship. And of course, we see a little bit of it in the sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah is falling before the Lord, who is there in a blaze of glory. And that, by the way, was Jesus, the Bible says. So we see that he was rich in honor. He was rich in authority. All created creatures. And of course, at first it was just angels, but then demonic spirits who fell. All of them are subject to him and have to give an account to him. Everyone ultimately accountable to Jesus Christ. And he was also rich in relationships. You know, sometimes the impression is given that God was kind of lonely and then he decided to create us so that we also might be able to have fellowship with him. And in this fellowship, God finally has some companionship. The Bible says in Acts 17, God had need of nothing. Why? Because of the Trinity. We can't explore this today because it would take time, but the Trinity has an inter-Trinitarian relationship. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was one of love. It was a relationship of mutual respect. It was a relationship that was fulfilling to God, and he had need of nothing. He decided to create us simply because of the overflow of what he intended to accomplish, but God existed in complete satisfaction and happiness, and that was Jesus in his riches. Try to grasp it. We can't, but we can try. Well, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. I'm saying to myself, I can't believe this. I've known many rich people who were generous, and by the way, I thank God for rich people. Rich people are oftentimes some of the most generous people. They fund all kinds of ministries. And so I'm thankful for them. But I personally do not know a rich person who gave himself so much away that he became poor because he gave so much. Now, there are a few, and I'm sure that somebody can text me and tell me about an autobiography that's been written about some quote, saint in the past who's done it, but I don't know of anybody, and I don't expect them to give that way. But here is Jesus, who gave himself away and became poor in such a way that he actually had to become poor so that we might become rich. Do you notice that little phrase? You're looking at the text, I hope. For your sakes, for our sakes, he assumed poverty. Not just giving away out of his riches. Oh, no, no. He gave until he was poor. Now, many people think, well, he became poor economically. I think that Jesus became poor in the sense of dishonor. He was no longer honored on earth. In heaven, everyone knew who he was. On earth, he got shouted at, he got spat upon, he was viciously attacked, falsely accused. That's the way he was being treated here on earth. It was the incarnation. And not only the fact that he became poor in the sense of giving up his position. You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that he did not believe that being equal with God had to be something he had to hang on to. He still retained God's attributes. When he was here on earth, he was God in the flesh, but he gave up the use of his attributes and depended totally on the Father. That's why he spent so much time in prayer. It would be as if I were a millionaire but lived and worked with the poorest people in Chicago. At any time I could write out a check, I could live in a beautiful home, but I choose not to because I'm identifying with them. That helps us understand a little bit about the incarnation and the tremendous price that Jesus gave. He did not consider himself that he had to hang on to his position, but he humbled himself and became a servant.
Well, my friend, even as we anticipate the brand new year, we trust that God will help us to serve in humility, using Jesus Christ as our example. This is one of the last days you'll have the opportunity of receiving a resource from us. It's a devotional, 365 devotions, written by D.L. Moody and by me. You'll begin every day with a verse of Scripture, its application, and you'll be encouraged to pray and to make sure that what you are learning is experienced in your life. For a gift of any amount, we're making it available for you. And even as we think of the end of this year, we thank God for the many of you who are praying about giving a special gift to Christian ministries. We hope that in those prayers you will consider the ministry of Moody Church Media.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer introducing The Generosity of God, a look at why we in turn should be a generous people. We're learning that giving is a matter of appreciation, and from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, giving is also proof of our salvation. Next time, why the first step to real generosity is to receive the free gift of salvation. Make plans to join us. We'd like you to have a brand new daily devotional in time for the new year. It's called simply Running to Win and has one verse per day with comments from both Pastor Lutzer as well as D.L. Moody. It's yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.